my friends. What do a luxury sales rep, a fashion entrepreneur, a tech sales rep, a cold calling expert, a real estate investor all have in common? Well, today's guest has learned that the power of relationships and technology has served her well through all of her careers. So, if you want to learn more about the power of relationships and how it can help you grow your business, then this is the podcast episode for you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Work Less, Profit More Business podcast for leaders who want to stop being that chief everything officer and build a self-running business engine that gives them true freedom. Hi, I'm Diana Lidstone, business strategist known for my straight talk, no BS, and the simple small business strategies and some mindset shifts that help my clients grow and scale without hustle or burnout. So if you're a lawyer, financial advisor, real estate investor, accountant, or other business owner who feels trapped in that day-to-day running of your business, then welcome aboard. Each week, I share insights on how to become the true leader of your business, the CEO, without working harder. Hey, everyone. I have an amazing guest today, and we've already had a great conversation before we went to recording, but we're going to have another great conversation here today about relationships and why they are so important when you grow your business. So I'd love to introduce Shadi Jean of Sage Investments. And like I said in the intro, yes, she has been a fashion entrepreneur, a luxury sales rep, a technical sales rep, a cold calling expert, and she is currently a real estate investor. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Diana. Thank you for welcoming me, and I'm happy to be here today.
Ah, awesome. Awesome. So the power of relationships. Let's talk about that first and about how this has served you not only currently in your real estate investing business, but in the past. What makes relationships so key?
I think people forget that we, from the moment we're born, we have relationships. Relationship with our parents, siblings, family members, friends. And as we grow, it is important to continue along in nurturing this relationship, building on them, finding who are your people. Who are the people that are with you, but who are the people that can help you move? And there's different type of relationship. There's personal relationship. There's family relationship. There are business relationship. There's work relationship. So it is okay to categorize them, but each relationship will bring their own thing. And I think it's important also to understand it's a two-sided thing. Relationship is what I give and what the other person brings me as well.
Right, because it's got to be a win-win for everybody, doesn't it?
Exactly.
And you talked about, you know, who are your people? It's so key to know who your people are. As you said, whether it's personal, because as we grow as business owners, sometimes we grow out of relationships.
Exactly. And it's funny, I'll take a say that my mom told me in the past. She says, understand one thing in relationship. Some people are there for a season. Some people are there for a lifetime. But at the end of the day, each person will have an impact. And just look at how did I grow? That it had been a positive or negative impact. What is it in this relationship that made me become the person that I am? And how can I grow and use those experiences in order to become the person I want to become?
I love that. I love that. For a season or for a lifetime. Yes, because I think a lot of, I'll say small business owners don't realize that actually growing a small business is the biggest personal development journey you will ever go on. And so as you grow and as you learn new skills, the people that you surround yourself with are going to change, right? So I look back and, you know, my business journey, those people that I surrounded myself with at the beginning are not the same people I surround myself with now, 40 years later, because I'm not the same person, right?
Exactly. And there are people, like, you're going to outgrow some people. And it's okay to let go. It's okay to accept that you might outgrow the person. It doesn't mean that you have to get rid of them out of your life, but you're in a different season. You know, you might be in the summertime of your season where, you know, your crops are growing. They might be in winter. And if they're in winter, let them grow on their own. We don't have to be people's savior, but we can move further and let our progress speak for itself.
Yeah, for sure. And so let's get to the nitty gritty. Why do you feel that relationships are key to growing your business?
I believe that it is important to know what your strengths are. In every business or in every endeavor, you have specific strengths. For instance, my strength is I'm a people's person because of my sales past experiences. I love being around people. I love interacting. I love interacting with people that I don't know and getting to know them. So I know my strength, but I'm not an accountant. So if I want somebody to deal with the numbers of my business, I'll go and have that relationship with somebody that I know I'll have a long relationship with. Because at the end of the day, I often say a relationship in business is just like dating. You know, it's like you need to get to know each other, but you also need to grow together, right? So at the same time as I'm delegating the accounting to the professional, that will allow me to say, I put my energy on something specific. You know, you said it at the beginning where you're not chief of everything, right? It is important to know, let me take that one specific thing that I'm good at, let me perfect it. And if eventually I need to grow in other things in my expertise, growth.
Perfect. Yeah. You know, going back to relationships are like dating. You know, you're not going to marry someone on the first date. And so you probably won't hire them. You probably won't work with them. You probably won't, whatever it is, in your first conversation. Yeah. And, you know, as a real estate investor, you said something about raising capital. And yes. Let's talk a little bit about how important relationships are when it comes to raising capital.
Oh, I love this subject. This is great. I think that we have to remember that it's not from the first conversation that somebody will hand you a check. The person that will invest with you has a long-term relationship with you. You have to understand that as much as you take that check, you have to know who you're taking the check from.
Yeah.
Right. A building, you might have it for 20 years. So that means you have a relationship with that investor for 20 years if they're still in the deal. One thing that I'm starting to realize as I'm growing in this business, building strong relationship is also about building trust. Building trust is not just a one-way thing. No. It's not a question of the investor that's investing with you, trusting you. You also have to trust the person you're taking the money from. As you're raising capital, it's also giving you the opportunity to get other people in your deal, because that person, as they're trusting you in their relationship, might give you more referral. It might expand as well your network.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up the subject of trust. A coach that I follow and work with on occasion, she calls it the trust triad. Mm-hmm. And she says people often will say no because there might be one part of this trust triangle that they really aren't comfortable with. So the trust triangle is they have to trust in you. They have to trust in your offer. So whatever the offer is, so maybe it's your investment. And the third is they have to trust themselves that they are comfortable with it. So for instance, you know, we're in the process of selling our house and somebody made us a really great offer. There was a condition on the offer and we said no. And then we kind of thought about it and we went, well, okay. So we went back to them and they said no. And so they didn't trust in their original offer. So they weren't trusting in themselves that that was the right offer for them. And I think if we are conscientious of this trust triad or triangle, I think it helps explain very often why deals don't work out.
Yeah, it is so true. I like the fact that you mentioned they have to trust themselves. Because, you know, we hear a lot about a deal is about the investor will invest in you, not just the deal, but it's more than that. The investor needs to trust that, you know, this is something I believe in.
Yeah.
This is something that I don't mind doing. Exactly.
Yeah. That it's right for them. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that understanding that you said it's a win-win.
Yeah.
They have to look at it and say, okay, they're winning. I'm winning as well. But if they don't feel like they're winning, if they don't feel that trust in themselves, it's hard. I think, and also I strongly believe maybe that investor might not invest with you that first deal, that second deal, that third deal. But as you build that experience, as you keep them updated over time, they'll be like, okay, I do believe that I can trust Saji. I do believe that I can trust Diana. I do believe that I can trust this investment, this deal, because I now see a track record that is showing me that this person is out here, not just to get something out of me, but because they actually can do something where I feel I'm a winner.
Perfect. Perfect. I love that. We're just going to break for a second, but when we come back, I would like to talk a little bit more about one of the most important things about building relationships and how you can use technology in that. Hey friends, did you listen to my four-part free training entitled Get Out of the Weeds and Back into the Driver's Seat? It starts at episode 134. Give yourself the gift of 20 minutes a day for some simple steps that will really move the needle in your business and pull you out of the weeds and back into the driver's seat. Oh, did I mention? There's a workbook also. Go to dianalidstone.com/notes. Okay, we're talking about building relationships. And you showed me a post-it note before we had our little conversation. And what was written on that post-it note?
Follow up, follow up, follow up, follow up, follow up. I can't stress it enough. You need to follow up. You can't just reach out once. And because the person says, yeah, I invest passively and I'd be open to invest XYZ amount, assume that they'll invest with you. Follow up.
Yeah. One of the very first books I ever read when I was starting my coaching business was called The Fortune is in the Follow-Up.
I love that.
Yeah, it was really and truly. And when I'm talking to people and when I'm coaching people about a marketing strategy, you know, the third part of a marketing strategy is what I call cultivate. So that's the nurture part. You know, you've got to nurture those relationships with maybe it's email marketing, but it's follow up, it's follow up, it's follow up, right? All the time, all the time. And here's the thing that I think people forget. Not everybody will respond to the way you follow up if you only use one way to follow up. And here's what I mean by that. So if you send emails to somebody and that's the only method of your follow up, they may be somebody that never reads emails. If you just phone, maybe they're somebody who never picks up the phone unless they know who's at the other end. So I found that when I was teaching follow-up, it's really important to use a variety of methods. Then you're sure that it's actually reaching the person.
It is so true. And that's where I can say I use technology for that. By using technology, I mean, we can't trust our brain. Let's be real. I'm not saying that we're forgetful, but if you have 100 people, 200 people that you have to reach out to, you can't remember everything.
No. And you won't remember what you said or how you said it or when was the last time or when they said you could follow up again. So I'd love to hear more about what you use or maybe what you recommend in terms of technology that helps you follow up.
Yeah, like I recommend a CRM. I mean, I have a preference for HubSpot, but I tell people any CRM, like use a CRM, take notes after each conversation, put up tasks, have a specific things. If I have a conversation with, for instance, I'll take the example as you, Diana, I have a conversation with you and you said, you know what, I'd be interested to talk to you maybe in 2 months. Well, I can put a note in a task saying I'll reach back to Diana in 2 months. But in the meantime, if Diana says, you know what, Saji, just like you said, emails is not really my preferred way of contact, I would prefer you texting me.
Yeah.
In my notes, I will write prefers text. And that way, when I go into Diana's file, I can say, oh, Diana prefers me to text her instead of emailing her. I won't put her in a sequence, sending her a bunch of email that she might never open that will end up in her junk mail. I'll respect a preferred way of communication. And build that relationship based on what she preferred, not what I prefer.
I think that's really, really, really important. And CRMs, for those of you who don't know, customer relationship management tools, and there's hundreds of them out there. There's free ones, there's expensive ones, there's simple ones, there's complicated ones. You know, I think, you know, if you're just starting out, an Excel spreadsheet works as well, you know, but I think it's really, really important as your business grows, you have to treat it like a business. And if you want to build a, you know, multiple six figure, you want to build a seven figure business, then start treating it like that.
Exactly. Give your business the mindset, just like you would do with yourself. You act like you're the millionaire, act like your business is already that $1 million business. And those businesses, what do they have? They have the proper tech stack. Get the tech stack, start for free. Like, you know, for instance, like HubSpot offers a free CRM that's easy to use, allows people to enter information, take notes, do the task, all of these things that I mentioned. And then as you grow with your company, well, start having the paying features that will help you elevate your business. But I think we need to invest in relationship. You know, when we create a budget, we plan what we're doing with our money. It's the same thing you need to do with relationship. Where are you planning to bring this relationship? What are you planning to do about this relationship? And what value will you be bringing to this relationship? Forget about what I'm getting from it. Focus more on what value you'll bring. The rest will come on its own.
Yes, I love that. Planning. When I was working for a financial advisor, one of the things that I heard him say, he says, people spend more time planning their vacation than they do their retirement.
Yeah.
And it's no different when it comes to people's businesses, right? They spend so much time, you know, where am I going on vacation? How much am I going to spend? Yeah. Et cetera, et cetera. But planning for their business. And I love this concept of planning your relationships. You know, who is it that you can help move their business? Who is it that you can help make it a win-win? And how are you going to build that relationship? So what was it this morning? I never read Twitter, ever. But it comes, somehow there's a notification that comes to my email inbox. And there was something from Tim Ferriss, you know, the author of The 4-Hour Workweek and many other books. And he said something to the effect that, you know, 20% of what we do creates 80% of our problems and our unhappiness. And the reverse is true. 20% of what we do creates 80% of our happiness and our desired outcomes. And I went, huh, I agree with this totally. And I thought, I created a graphic, quoted him, talked about the topic. I, you know, tagged him and put it both on Facebook and LinkedIn. And I thought, hey, he has a great concept here. It's in alignment a little with work less, profit more. How can I elevate him? Who knows? Maybe there will be a relationship that will be built from that.
And, you know, I actually really appreciate that you did that. It makes me think of something I read in the book, How to Become a Power Connector by Julie Robinette. And the one thing that she talks about that really struck with me is that people tend to network two ways. They network horizontally and vertically. Mm-hmm. By networking horizontally, that means you network with people that are your peers, that are at the same level as you, people with who you want to expand your network with.
Right.
Networking vertically is you network with people that you'll learn from, that are in position of power, that have the network that you'd like to learn. That's usually the kind of network that you do when you want to grow your network at a higher stake, but you also are you looking for a mentor, you're looking for a coach, you're looking for somebody that has more knowledge than you. And it's the power, as I said before, to be comfortable being uncomfortable. That's when you start networking vertically.
I love that. I had never heard about networking in that manner, but it totally makes sense. Yeah, so good, so good. So you talked about a tech stack. Is there any other technology that you might share with the listeners that could help them with their networking, with their follow-up, building relationships?
You know, to tell the truth, so that I always think, don't complicate things. Mm-hmm. Start with a CRM. Start small and get used to technology, because technology can be overwhelming. I mean, I got a new phone 2 weeks ago or a week ago, and basically what I do is text, call, and just the same thing. And I know it can do way many other things than that. But you start small, and then eventually you discover your technology. As you discover technology, then add more. Start with that. Start with that with your relationship, even for personal relationship. You know, it's interesting. In that same book, How to Become a Power Connector, Judy Robinette says, use a CRM where you make a list of even your personal relationship. Integrate your top five, your top 10, your top 100, if I remember. I hope I'm paraphrasing her right. But she does say, who are the five people with whom you spend the most time with or you talk the most? Put them in your CRM. And put yourself reminders so that you don't forget about them. Because sometimes as we build our business, we forget about our personal relationship. Even if you have your wife or your husband at home, put them in and say, organize date night. You know, it's okay to use technology to plan your life, but never forget to plan, because if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Exactly. Let's go back to follow-up for a minute, because I think that's really a key thing that people, especially business owners, they get so busy in the day-to-day operations of their business that they forget to follow up. Not only follow up in terms of relationships, but in terms of sales conversations, which is a relationship.
Yes.
And, you know, how are we going to know that it's the right time to follow up if they say yes to something, if they say no to something? But I think there's a really even more follow up with past clients.
Yes. So for somebody, for instance, that hasn't followed up for a while, and it's been like 6 months, you haven't reached out. You know, it's okay to just reach out to the customer to say, first of all, if it's a past customer, try to go on their social media. Find out something about them. Find out what they've been up to. Most people are up to date with their LinkedIn. If you're connected on Facebook, same thing. What is something that they're doing? Even if they had a vacation with their family, it doesn't have to be business related. You can send a message and say, hi, I know we haven't reached out to each other. We haven't talked for a while. I've seen that you were away in Mexico. I'd be happy to jump on a call and just hear more about it. I was myself in Mexico doing XYZ. Have some sort of point of connection that you can find with your customer. If it's something on LinkedIn and there's an article about them winning a prize or having funding, congratulate them. Just let your customer know you remember them. It's okay to have those moments where you say, okay, I forgot. However, if you just had a conversation yesterday, 24 hours is usually the amount of time I say, and the amount of time without being punished is 48. But have that 24 hours email. I also say, if somebody introduced you as a referral, reach back and say, thank you for the refer. After the conversation, keep them updated. Let them know what happened with that conversation. They could have not introduced you, but it's only fair to let them know what happened with that introduction and where are you now in your progress with that person or even on your own. So yeah, it's important to keep people updated and also show interest in what they're doing. Yeah. Like, we talk about ourselves enough. It's so important.
You know, one of the points is, you know, keep in touch with past clients, because I believe the statistic is it's 7 times easier to sell to a past client than it is to generate a new client.
Exactly.
So keep in touch with them. And you were talking about how you can follow up and, you know, finding a common point. I have a sort of a cute story way back in the beginning of my coaching career. I was reaching out to a gentleman who was vice president of a big insurance company. And every time I called, there was, no, he can't speak with you. No, he can't speak with you. Never any response from the emails. And then I saw on social media that he was going to Hawaii for a vacation. And I had just come back from Hawaii. And so I sent him a actual physical card with a picture of Hawaii.
Oh, I love that.
And I sent him some brownies, okay, in a box. I don't think he was back a week. And I got a phone call and an email. Oh my God. He said, you know, the way to a man's heart is through. But you know, it was months and months and months of follow-up, but I finally found the thing that tweaked him. So yeah. Never give up. Never give up.
Never give up. And you know what? The most beautiful thing somebody can do is send a written note. We don't do it enough these days. I know sometimes it's hard to have people's addresses. Oftentimes, like I'll talk to some people and I'll ask them, even if it's an investor, a potential investor, I said, are you okay to share your cell phone? Can you share your address? You know, it's just like, if they don't want, I respect that. But if they do, or sometimes it's in their signature, yes. You know, make the effort. I love that.
It is. Sending a real, you know, written note helps you stand out because as we know, right? What do we get in the mail? We get junk mail, flyers. And now, if you get a greeting card or something, you go, who the heck sent this?
I know.
So amazing. Well, thank you so much for our conversation today. Is there any last words that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Just remember that in any relationship, as much as you're building it for yourself, for your business, just know that the other person on the other side is also building the relationship with you. So it's not a one-way thing. It's a two-way relationship. And like I said before, follow up, follow up, follow up, follow up. I can't say it enough.
Thank you so much for being
here. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Thank you, Diana, for having me.
So great. We'll have you back. And I think I have an idea of something else that we can talk about at another time. So thank you for listening to the Work Less, Profit More Business Podcast, where weekly you'll get tips, strategies, and resources to help you work less and profit more. Until next week, remember, you can do this. Bye for now.